On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, the baseball team has their SEC home opening series, and the women's basketball team continue their deep run into March. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 142 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope y'all had a great week out there, Gamecock Nation. Hope you were productive in whatever ventures you had going on. But most importantly, I hope you are rested and ready for yet another jam-packed weekend of Gamecock sports. It's just the best. Not only that, you got the men's NCAA tournament happening as well. It's literally just nonstop action. March Madness is, it's just the best. You know, you're having a bad day. You're like, oh, well, you know, tournament kicks back up tomorrow. Having a bad Thursday. Oh, well, got the tournament tonight. Throw a couple bucks on here and there. It's tracking the brackets. It's just such a fun, unique time of year for a sports fan, especially college sports fans, especially fans like us who have a kick-ass women's basketball team. So now you got two tournaments to worry about, and then we're also seam heads, so we're looking at our baseball team. So that's constant, constant action. I would not have it any other way. We're going to review the women's basketball team and preview their next steps into the tournament. Going to talk about the baseball series this weekend. But let's look back at a week in review from around Carolina Athletics. Starting with the news from the men's basketball program in that Chico Carter Jr. has entered the transfer portal. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I saw that one and was a little surprised. I was like, huh, how about them apples? It just was not something that I expected. I've talked about having a core of guys for Lamont Paris in year two of his regime, or whatever you want to say, his tenure, probably a more appropriate word. But I listed Jacoby Wright, Michi Johnson, Josh Gray, Zach Davis. And then I always kind of said, and, you know, Chico Carter as well, assumed he would come be back. I think I saw that he has 1 year of eligibility left, which, if that really is the case, I got to get my head examined, because I honestly feel like he was a sophomore. Like, I honest to God thought he was a sophomore, but, you know, I guess that's just not the case. But nevertheless, thank you for the memories, Chico. We will always have the Clemson game. What a shot. What a memory. Thank you for that. Wish you nothing but the best. See you later. Which brings me to Wednesday. There was only a little bit of action going on this week. Wednesday, the softball team beat Furman 10-0. Just continuing to roll. They've had a little hiccups here and there in SEC play, but they're still having a very fine season. And that is it from the minor sports. There are a lot in action this weekend. So we'll have a lot to recap with y'all next episode. You got men's soccer action, tennis teams are going. So it's very, very exciting and a busy weekend from around Carolina. And brings me to the baseball team. Now, the guys, they were in action this past week. They had a midweek game against Charlotte in Charlotte, the Queen City, and it was just one of those nights where the ball doesn't bounce your way. The Gamecocks fell to Charlotte 6-2. But before I get into that, I mean, first off, Ray Tanner or whoever, someone, please, can we stop playing these games in Charlotte? Like, I don't know who or what someone from South Carolina did to that city, but it just feels like that city is cursed for us, especially with baseball. The football team sort of exercised those demons in the Mayo Bowl back then, but for the baseball team at least, I mean, seriously, it feels like every time we play a game up there, it just does not go well for us. Beautiful ballpark with a fantastic backdrop looking at the cityscape, but what's more important? A nice backdrop to your game or the result? I'm going to say the result. So, geez. But, you know, it was just an uncharacteristic game for this team. You had a couple of errors and things like that that we hadn't seen. Their approach at the plate just felt a little different. Charlotte made some big plays, and their starter was just freaking dealing. But baseball is a finicky game like that, right? Sometimes there are nights that just don't follow any sort of logic. A Charlotte team that's just not all that great going up against a South Carolina team that is pretty good so far this season, and it just doesn't go our way. You know, and when you play 56 games like these guys do in college, you're going to lose some. You know, it sucks to say, and it sucks when we lose, especially when we've been rolling, but the old saying, you can't win them all. You literally just cannot in baseball. But, you know, this team does need to handle business in the midweek games, and it should better than it did last year. But to not expect the occasional midweek loss is just not realistic. And it sucks to say, because I would like to see them handle business every midweek game, every game period, but baseball is like that. Eli Jurzenbeck was the losing pitcher, going 2 2/3 inning, allowing 5 runs. It was really just one bad inning, that 5-run inning, that put Carolina in the big hole, and guys couldn't come back from it. Some player highlights for y'all. Braylon Wimmer went 1-for-3 with an RBI, and Cole Messina went 2-for-5. Up next for Carolina, it is a weekend series against Missouri at home. So opening SEC series at home for South Carolina. Your weekend rotation will be the same as it has been. Sanders, Hall, Mahoney in that order for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Mizzou is currently 16-3 on the year, coming off of a huge, somewhat surprising sweep against Tennessee. They are currently ranked number 22 by D1 Baseball. College baseball is funny. There's like 5 different services that offer rankings. We're going to go with D1 Baseball probably from here on out. And, you know, it's just funny because Mizzou's pretty hot right now, so I really would have liked to preferred if South Carolina handled its business against Charlotte, but nevertheless, it is the SEC home opening series. I expect Founders Park to be absolutely jumping, just a fantastic atmosphere. And it's funny because so far this year, South Carolina has played very, very well at home and has tended to bring that edge when they're in Founders. And that's what I think it's going to take. I mean, it's what it's going to need to happen every SEC series, right? But especially at home, you need to be able to win those series in order to put yourself in a really strong position for a potential postseason. And when you hear the stories of the really great South Carolina baseball teams, a common thread is that they really took defending Founders Park seriously, and that you didn't come in to Columbia expecting to play well. And I think you're seeing that a little bit with this team. So hopefully we see that edge this series. Side note, going against Missouri, I'm just still annoyed at Mizzou and pissed off at Mizzou from this last football season. I've said it again. They're like the redheaded stepchild of the SEC. They're just annoying in everything they do, in every sport we play them in. They're just annoying. So I'm really, really hoping that the boys lay a beat down on them for all of our sakes. We need that. Please. Thank you. My crow to the series here, don't have any errors. The Gamecocks had two errors against Charlotte, and you saw what happened. It's pretty uncharacteristic of this team. For reference here, South Carolina only had one error in the entire series against Georgia. So it's something that the guys have in them against an SEC team to play very clean. You play clean, play good defense, run the bases well, let the guys on the pitching staff do what they do, let the offense do what they do. Should be a good series, going to be a great atmosphere. Let's absolutely go. Let's go, Cox. I'm pumped up for this one, if you couldn't tell. Really annoyed with Mizzou. Just annoyed with them. Like I said, I don't hate Mizzou. I don't look at them even as like a true rival because they're annoying. But they're just a thorn in our side. They're annoying. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk about why the Missouri Tigers are annoying. But looking ahead and outside of baseball, women's basketball, it still feels so sweet. Being in the Sweet 16, we are back in action for the tournament this weekend. The ladies are in the Sweet 16 and are matched up against the number 4 seed UCLA Bruins. So UCLA got here by beating the 5th-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. Now, if you remember correctly, UCLA and South Carolina played earlier this year. South Carolina was the winner, winning by a score of 73-64. So I'll take that, right? I'll take a matchup where you're familiar with the team. I know there's the old adage, it's hard to beat a team twice. I get that. But when it's in the tournament, I think any edge you can get goes a long way. So for Dawn Staley and team to have some familiarity with this opponent, I think will pay huge dividends. So you have tape. Guys all know how they are going to play each other. And it's just one of those deals where I'd rather have a team you're a little familiar with than going against someone completely random who you just never play against, who you never know could have a really good day, right? Carolina plays UCLA this Saturday at 2 p.m. That is in Greenville. My crow to the game here is slow down Emily Bessoir. Totally guessing on that last name. So if I'm mispronouncing, I'm sorry, Emily. But she is their forward. She is also the team's leading rebounder. She also had a nice game against Carolina early this year. Almost had a double-double. So Aaliyah, Victoria, and Camilla have to play up on defense and keep her in check. Because if we're able to limit their post play, I like our chances. You know, they do have another player or two, some guards who can score well, can shoot the ball, stretch the floor, things like that. But I think the depth and the defensive prowess of Carolina can slow those players down. So I don't want someone inside to beat us. And the team has showed an ability to slow down big post players. So would like to keep Emily Bessoir, hopefully, in check more so than they did in the game earlier this season. So if the ladies end up on the winning side of this game, if the seeding holds, they will face the winner of either Notre Dame and Maryland in the Elite Eight. Maryland is the number 2 seed in our quadrant. Notre Dame is the 3. And that game is actually right before Carolina's. So we're going to know. We're going to know by tip-off who a potential opponent will be. That's kind of exciting. But obviously, for the ladies' sake, hopefully they're not scoreboard watching or anything like that. I'm sure they're not. I bet you Don has a whole plan. Keep that on lock and just focus on the task at hand. Side note, you know, it's kind of been a hectic tournament on the women's side of things. It's funny when you look at it, you have two quadrants where it's all chalk like ours. You have the 1, 2, and 3, 4 seeds advanced, two of them. And then on the other two quadrants, it's just absolute chaos. Stanford lost, Indiana lost, so your two number one seeds are out. You got like an 8 seed thrown in there, 6 seed. So it actually has been madness in the women's bracket as well, just like the men's team. And it's going to be fun to watch. You know, you obviously, the women have a serious task at hand here. UCLA is good, and they were pretty solid out in the Pac-12, so you got to make sure that our depth is on display, and you're going to need a big-time scoring performance. I know Zaya Cook had a phenomenal game in the round of 32 against USF. She might be as locked in as we've seen, and hopefully that continues, but you also are going to need to find a good chunk of offense from someone else. So who is that going to be? Maybe it's Aaliyah Boston. Camila Cardozo has taken over games in the past. Maybe look at someone like Letitia Amy here, right? She had a nice game against USF. If she can bring another, I don't know, 12, 15 points, something like that, that would be huge. It's going to be big time games for Raven and Kira. So I'm really looking forward to this one. And, you know, anytime it's a single elimination deep tournament run, does make you a little nervous. So do whatever you can, do whatever superstition you got to bring good vibes and good luck to Dawn Staley and team. It's right up the road in Greenville. I think the fams are going to be in full effect. It's going to be a absolute blast and a very, very fun weekend for the Gamecocks, for our community. Buckle up, y'all. This is March. This is March. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.